Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, please. And for you that are new or subscribers, I just want to say that my weekly messages share biblical truth, expose error, and provide encouragement to stay on the narrow path and fight the good fight of faith. That's kind of what my assignment has been for the last few years. And I just want to encourage everybody to stay strong. And if you're a pastor or leader, to share with your people what's coming down, what's Agenda 2030. And I was just telling our group here that Minnesota just came out with their climate action plan, and it's all going to be the same. It's all going to be the Agenda 2030 plan in a local level and a governmental state. And so you might as well know what's going on. That was a hard message to preach the last few weeks, but I'm glad I did it because I feel like the blood of the people's on my hands. If much is given, much is required. And sometimes these hard messages are not fun. I've always been one that likes fun and action, and these last few years, nothing has been too much fun. It's like this true story in Louisville, Kentucky. There was a mailman that didn't want to deliver the mail. For some reason, he would just deliver kind of what his route was, and then he just decided that the rest of the mail he wouldn't deliver. So they started getting complaints. People were not getting their mail, and they were freaking out, like, why don't I get my mail? My bills aren't coming. Yay, bills. All these things. So they did a track and a trace and a research, and it all came back to this Frank Sosensky. This is a true story. And after investigating and trying to figure out what happened to all this mail, over a six-year period this happened, they went into this guy's attic and they found 1,200 bags of undelivered mail. It was found in his attic. And that's the way a lot of leaders are right now. They don't want to deliver certain mail. And they want to preach the fun messages and the happy messages. But we're living in a day that change is happening to our world so fast, it's hard to even keep up with how fast it's happening. And from now till Agenda 2030, actually, if they get their goal, we're going to see more changes in the next few years than we have totally in the United States or around the world. Change is really happening because they want a new system. We're not going into that. If you haven't heard that message, that was the last 3 weeks, so I'm not going to go into that. But I got so tired of telling people, go study Agenda 2030, and nobody ever would. Well, what is that? What is that? Well, it intertwines with everything that's going on, and you see the plan, and it, even though we can't change it, I believe that if people start seeing things, they can start not complying with some things and delay it some. But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 26, Paul was speaking, he said, wherefore I take to you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. And I always put a question mark, why? Why is he free from the blood of all men? For he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And what's the counsel of God? Really, in verse 21, it tells you, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So it's the good mail and it's the bad mail. It's the whole counsel. It's the endurance. It's picking up your cross. It's repenting. It's all the different things that really should prepare us for the battle that we're in spiritually. And he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Verse 31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So if he was warning back then with tears, saying we are in danger of false teachers and all these different things, and that was when this Bible was written, think about where are the warnings now? Where are those messages and those warnings from the leaders that are telling us what's coming? People need to be prepared for what's coming on the earth. And it's not just the United States. This is global. And I knew we were in trouble when I started seeing 6 feet apart, because I've done a lot of research and stuff, and I was telling people what was coming, and so many people have not wanted to hear it. And there's a price to pay to warn people, and they don't want to hear it. But here it is. And those of us that listened, we're more prepared than those that have, they live in denial, right? Well, Paul had to do the hard messages. He didn't just get to do the fluff and buffs. He had to do the hard messages. He had to deliver all the mail. So we have to be ready for all the mail, because sometimes you need your fruits and vegetables. You can't just live on dessert. And spiritually, most Christians just live on dessert. They just live on the sweet messages, the ear tickling, and as a result, they're sick. They're sick. So Paul warned night and day for 3 years. So he delivered the unwanted mail, the hard messages. Now in Ezekiel 13, let's turn there. And I want to just say this right up front. We're talking here for a second about the false prophets, the warning here in the Old Testament. But now in the New Testament, in Hebrews 1, in verse 1, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now the Old Testament is written. I don't think Ezekiel would be able to preach a message today. I don't think Isaiah, I don't think Jeremiah, all these preachers would be not positive. So they would be out, right? Well, in the time past, the Lord spoke to us through his prophets. But he hath in these last days, we're in the last days, spoken unto us by his Son. The Bible is written by the Son for us. He's not going to give some prophet this extra revelation knowledge, going to heaven, going to these trips, all the stuff these people are in today. It's absolutely flakier than a flake. God's not speaking that way now. And they're always saying, God said, and as soon as that they say that, I shut them off. Because he's in the last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. He's no respecter of persons, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, and he upholdeth all things by the word of his power, right? So underline that, Hebrews 1. He's spoken to us today by his Son. So that says a whole lot to these false male people that are giving all this fake mail to you, saying God said. But they did it in the Old Testament too. And this is what I want you to see. In Ezekiel 13, let's look at verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God. Now think about it. He spoke through his prophets. And if they were false prophets, they got stoned. They weren't allowed to just use people and just say, well, I missed it this time, like they're doing now to the, in the school of the prophets. They're teaching people how to prophesy. Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Verse 5, you have not gone up into the gaps. That talks about prayer. You haven't been praying, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle. Stand in the battle of the Lord. We need to be prepared for the battle. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, the Lord hath not sent them. In verse 7, it says, the Lord saith, I haven't spoken. Therefore, verse 8, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and you've seen lies, therefore, behold, I'm against you, saith the Lord. Now in verse 10, you can read this when you have more time. I love this chapter 13. Because they had seduced my people. How have they seduced God's people? By saying peace and there was no peace. Now that word peace in the Hebrew, it means ease. The Bible says, woe to those that are at ease in Zion. They preach ease, safety, rest. This is still what the word peace there in the Hebrew means. Prosperity, happy. And they didn't prepare them to stand in the battle. We don't have tough skin for persecution. We don't have tough skin to know what's going on because we haven't gotten the mail, right? If we haven't read the book, we don't understand what's going on. And they're saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. Well, what does that mean? That means they whitewashed it. They whitewash everything. So if something was, it had a dirty wall, they just put a real light coat of white paint over it. So it looks good on the outside, but on the inside it was full of rotten junk, right? So verse 16, he said, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace. There's so much in here. They prophesy out of their own heart and prophesy, and prophesy thou against them. God was telling the real prophets to preach against the false prophets. And then the part I wanted you to see, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows. Call them pillow prophets. The ones that make you comfortable. The ones that take scripture and twist it to say you're just going to have a great journey. And God wants you all healed and you all blessed. You're all going to prosper. And then when that doesn't happen to you, you backslide because what you didn't do the formulas right. They sew pillows to all armholes. He said, verse 19, you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley or whatever it is. And he says, by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against your pillows. I'm against your pillows. Verse 22, with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, and I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked. So the false prophet, they prophesy lies, and what does it do? It strengthens the hands of the wicked. That you should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. So why was God mad? He was angry because it was causing the people to believe a lie. And today, people are prophesying. They're saying God said, "Thus say, I saw this, I saw that." This one guy said he went to a boxcar to heaven. Really? I mean, you just think about all that. Back in the, was it 90s or something, this guy so-called went to heaven. And all these movies that people are making a lot of money on. It's just so sad. So the Lord said, I'm against your pillows. Your false cushy dreams, your visions, your lies, your false comforting messages. And the pillows are those that deceive and put you to sleep spiritually and make you comfortable. Seducing my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And what do? They whitewash everything. I'm subscribed to a lot of different things, and I kind of like to get a worldview of what's going on, and they're still doing it today. They are lying to God's people, telling them this is going to happen and this and this and this, and they're not preparing them to stand. They're not preparing them for what's really going on. So it's a hypocrite. They look good on the outside, and they're all about images, right? So with whitewashing, it's a cover. It's a mask. God's not for masks. Masks cover who you really are. Hypocrites always put masks on, right? So let's talk a minute about leprosy. Because they were whitewashing everything. And today we have a movement where nobody talks about anything because you don't want to offend anyone. You don't want to judge anything. You don't want to test and try anything. And then we have on the other ditch people that are fighting against each other. This preacher's exposing that preacher, and this one's always got this. Have you noticed the fight that's going on? Leprosy was mentioned over 40 times in the Bible. So I've done a study on leprosy before, and leprosy is kind of like sin because leprosy starts off really small, and that's what happens when we don't really walk the way we should. We start allowing things. We get our excuse card. You know what an excuse card is? Well, I do this because, and we start rationalizing why we act the way we do. Well, I'm just German. You know, I just have a, we have all of our excuses for why we act the way we do. But leprosy is also known as Hansen's disease, because that was one of the doctors that figured out how to cure it, but or to test it or to treat it, is a long-term infection caused by certain bacteria and unclean conditions. The infection can lead to the damage of the nerves, the skin, the eyes, the respiratory tract. It can be a graphic illustration of sin and destructive power in our lives. Because when we start giving in to the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, all these different things, it starts off really small. This is very interesting. Among the 61 defilements of ancient Jewish laws, a leper wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of any other human. He wasn't permitted to come within 150 feet when the wind was blowing. Leprosy started off like a small spot, and then it would spread. It could start with specks on the eyelids or the palms of the hands, and it would gradually spread. It was a bacteria, so sometimes it would take years to develop into a full-grown leprosy situation. And what would happen is that it destroys nerve endings. So victims can't feel pain. The nerve endings that carry pain signals are destroyed. Because they have no pain or feelings, they can't be warned of danger. And some doctors that were treating lepers said, I cannot think of a greater gift that I could give my leprosy patients than pain. Because pain was like feelings. You could have a rat chewing on your arm and wouldn't even know it because you didn't have any feeling. You had no way to warn yourself that something bad was going on because they couldn't feel pain. Well, the same is with sin. It starts off small, and then what happens? It sears the conscience. And what happens when your conscience is seared, all of a sudden you don't know who you're hurting, you don't care who you're hurting, it's all about you. Think about some of the dumb things you did in your life. And you look back and you're like, oh, that was so, sin is always selfish. And it sears your conscience, it hardens your heart. And we get hardened hearts and we lose all sensitivity. We're not sensitive anymore. People that are really rude and mean to other people, they're not sensitive to how other people feel. If I say this, what's the reaction going to be? I don't care. I'm just going to say what I want. Well, advanced leprosy patients experienced a total loss of physical pain. And 1 Timothy 4:2 talks about this seared conscience as with a hot iron. It dulls the senses. Now, when we don't have that convicting preaching messages about sin and repentance, we just start thinking God doesn't care. He's just a God of love. He's a God of unity. He doesn't want anyone to judge anything. That's what I hear more and more from people. Oh, it's not my place to judge. And now all of a sudden there's a mixture in our churches where evil is good and good is evil, and nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to touch it. Nobody wants to talk about sin. Nobody wants to talk about hell. They're even saying, don't even read your Old Testament. It's gone, you know, it's old. And that's the biggest battle we have, is over the Bible. And so then what happens is people can lie. It's funny, we're watching the House series. You know, remember Dr. House? We're kind of watching that because there's nothing really to watch on TV anymore, have you noticed? And I'm not saying I really like him. He's a narcissist, but he lies a lot. He lies. It's the doctor that tries to figure out things. You guys remember it was an old series, but he's always lying. He's lying to everybody. He's lying to the people he works with, and he lies to himself. And I was just like, without any conscience. Right. And that's how people do. When they get their conscience seared, it's okay to lie. It's just, they lie without shame. When we lie, we should have our conscience pricked. It should bother us. It should cause us not to sleep at night. Instead, many have just got a seared conscience while everyone else is doing it. Because in 1 Timothy 1:18 through 19, it says we are to hold on to faith in a good conscience. How's your conscience doing? Because the lepers couldn't feel anything. And when you have a hardened and seared conscience, you don't feel anything. You can sin against people and it doesn't bother you anymore. Where repentance is a change of mind, but it's also something that we need to do all the time. It's not a one-time thing, because we're living in a fallen world and we're living, you know, we have a selfish, basically we're all selfish. So we got to constantly repent, ask forgiveness for the Lord. So one of the, let's look at Revelation 3. One of the churches that I want to talk about that was a backslidden church, it's one of the churches, it's the Church of Sardis. I think we're living, well, of course, these messages were written to the churches, also for us. But there's a lot in here because they quit repenting. They were sleeping. They were not awake. And they get rebuked for it. They stopped watching and praying, and they got very comfortable. And this is where I feel a lot of people are now. They're not watching. One of the things they got rebuked for, and I started a study on this, Sardis, and this whole town was built on mountains, and there was only one way to enter into that city. So they were built on mountains, so these cliffs, so they thought they were totally safe, that this was, you know, this fortress would never be attacked because they put the guards just on the front gate. But they didn't realize that the enemy came up through the mountains. And he came up through the mountains and he went through the city and opened up the gates. And Sardis was destroyed. It was totally destroyed and ruined because they were sleeping. They didn't have guards on the mountains. They didn't think the devil would come through that way. And that's what I feel like a lot of us are, just watchmen. We've been trying to say the enemy's coming up the cliff, you know, and nobody wants to hear it because it's not a good message. But it's the right message for the remnant and for the bride. And this is what it says. The angel of the church in Sardis, and this is also a place in Asia, in Turkey. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and you're dead. Now in this town, they were known for the first people that ever, they had gold, came into the town and went down in that stream, and there was full of gold, and they were the first ones that made gold coins. So there was a lot of gold. So they had a reputation of being rich and wealthy, and they had quite the name. And they thought they were impenetrable. They just thought they'd never be attacked, that this is, you know, we got it made. And he said, so I know thy works, that thou hast a name. You have a reputation. And I think about the evangelical churches, and I think about the movements that we've had in denominations and stuff, and we have a name. We think we're so alive, but we're dead. Yeah. We think, oh, we're not like any other movement. We've got the truth. So what happens? You get boastful, and you get proud. This is what they did. He said, I know thy works, that thou hast, you have a name, you have a reputation. He said, but thou, you think you're so alive, but you're dead. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. There was just a flicker left. And they were studying, they were worshiping different gods in this town. And there was just a little bit, a flicker left. And he said, wake up. You're sleeping. You're too comfortable. You're living on the past. You're living on your past reputation. He said, these things are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. And what do? Repent. Many of us, we just need to repent. And just, I've been repenting for the last, coming out of the Word of Faith and all these other glory movements. And I just thought, I am so embarrassed. I look at some of my notes from years ago, and I'm throwing them out, threw out thousands of dollars worth of books. And repent, turn around and change. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names. Now this is the good part. Even if you're in a bad situation, even if you're in a bad church, even you're in a bad movement here, he said, there's a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They were defiling their garments by worshiping these false gods. They were having terrible things happen even in the church. A lot of sex orgies and all this stuff. This is not new. This is the stuff, you know, that these gods have always done. But he said, there's a few. There's a remnant. There's a few that have not soiled your garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh. You got to overcome. We got to overcome these false doctrines. Those that tried these false prophets and found them what? Liars. That's what the Bible says. That's what we just read in Ezekiel. We found out that they've been lying. They really didn't go to heaven. Paul said he had a visitation. He couldn't even talk about it. It was the fear of God was upon him so much, and he wrote the Bible. But these people, I mean, they can go and they said, heaven's full of jello. I mean, such irreverence, and I mean, it's just come out from amongst that stuff. He that overcomes, you got to overcome that false teaching. You got to overcome this. The same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The remnant's going to escape. The remnant is going to awaken because they're watching and they're receiving all of the mail, the hard messages, and they're receiving, when they're in sin, they repent. So he said they had a name. Again, Sardis was considered an impregnable fortress. The result, the guards and the citizens, they were proud and they were overconfident. Proud and overconfident. This is what happened, even in the book of the Laodicea, the church. They thought they were rich. They didn't know they were naked. They didn't know that they weren't really walking with the Lord because they were told this is the best church in town to be at. They had a name that they were alive. They had programs that proved it. He said, we have to overcome. Who are the overcomers? It's one who's watchful, always ready to repent. I'm telling you, people can really make you mad in this hour, can't they? I've had more weird attacks, well, not so much now, but in the last year from people that I thought were my friends, and they didn't want to hear what I'm preaching on. Well, now it's here at the door. Deal with it, because you can't change what's coming. But you got to be ready to repent, because when you're angry, and we get hurt, and then we get angry, and then we get, you got to go through this, you know, this little thing. It's not fun, but the people are different now. Yeah. They're mad at everything. They're offended. They're opinionated. They're judgmental. So we got to deal with all this, right? Yeah. And then we have to repent. What's repentance? It's the act of changing our mind. Some people you forgive, but you don't need to be around them anymore. It's like, you know what, I forgive you, but I'm not going for round two. Amen. And I really don't care for narcissists. I've had my share of them. I've been a narc magnet because I'm mercy motivated, but these covert narcs are hard to figure them out. But once you find them, they always cause division. They're so sweet to your face, but they stab you in the back. And if you're a minister or a leader or anything, you're always going to have an attack with Jezebel, because that spirit wants to shut up your mouth. So you got to constantly repent so you don't stay angry and mad. It's the act of changing your mind and strong sorrow for sin, because we don't want leprosy to grow. You might have a reason to be upset, but you can't stay upset, right? When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Why? So God will forgive us. But that doesn't mean you forgive and let him do it again. I knew this one lady that was molested by her dad, and she let her kids... She forgave him and let her kids go and be with him, and he tried the same thing on her kids. That's not wisdom. That doesn't mean you go in and you go for round three and four. But you repent. You repent, you keep your heart right, but you also have to keep yourself safe. right? So you don't want to get leprosy, hard-hearted. You don't trust anybody. And I was so gullible, I trusted everybody. And then I was like, now I don't know who to trust anymore, especially preachers. I used to trust them all. Yeah. Now I see what they're preaching. And I was like, I don't trust them. It's hard to find preachers that really preach truth and not agendas of pushing in the new world order. Amen. So to repent means to turn or return to Christ. If you've backslidden, and a lot of people have backslidden because they were angry at their pastor, their churches, things happened. I have never been as messed up as I was in church. Because church people have problems, right? And I just thought everybody just loved the Lord and everybody was going to get along. And I guess I thought I was in heaven, but we're not. We're on the earth. But God wants us to overcome. Overcome is one who hates evil. You got to hate evil. That's the fear of the Lord. You got to hate evil. You test and you try the false teachers, false apostles, is willing to be rebuked and corrected. If I'm wrong, can you handle a rebuke? Can you handle a healthy rebuke? Not in today's church, people can't. And an overcomer is one who patiently waits for Jesus' return and doesn't faint under pressure. We got to keep on going. We're not allowed to quit. Even though we might get tired, we need some Aaron and hers to hold up our arms. Sometimes we all need encouragement. But we're not allowed to quit. We have to run our race until we're done. So this church, although filled with activity, we're talking about Sardis here again, it's known as the sleeping church, the spiritually dead church that thinks it's alive. Actually, they weren't in fellowship with the Lord at all. The church of Sardis walking around like they're living, but they're really zombies. The zombie church, the church of the zombies. I don't know, that might make a good title. I'm just a little more. Hang on. I just thought today, you know, people want you to go fast, but they can sit for 3 hours and watch football. They can watch all day basketball, but they won't give God 40 minutes for the whole week. The week. Well, 12 minutes is all I can take. Well, renew your mind. There, I put it back on you. First step. Wake up and honestly face reality. Yeah. Jesus said the church is comfortable. They have fallen asleep and are in danger of dying. Yeah. And they haven't put guards on the cliffs. They've only put guards on the front doors. They don't realize the enemy is coming from without. He's coming and attacking. History. The king of Sardis trusted the cliffs. They were so steep, they didn't think anybody would ever get up those mountains, those cliffs. So they never guarded it. And guess what? That place went into ruins. It was totally destroyed because why? They weren't watching. They weren't guarding. They weren't staying awake and repenting. They didn't stay on fire in a good way. Several Persian soldiers climbed up the cliffs at night, jogged through the town, opened the gates, and let the Persian army in. Jesus uses these historical events to make his point to the church in Sardis and also to our church today. The church is too comfortable. We're too comfortable with our coffee bars. We're too comfortable with our donuts. We're too comfortable with our light show. We're too comfortable with, we just can't preach the word. We got to entertain people. We've got to be the best show in town. And I know that pressure because I was in one of the mega churches for 28 years. And the pressure to keep up with what's going on, I mean, it's unbelievable what these leaders have to face. The church is too comfortable, not watchful, and spiritually blind to the dangers of sin and evil. Now we don't preach on sin anymore because it makes the unchurched feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Well, guess what? They're supposed to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. When we're in sin, we're supposed to not feel good until we get it right. We're supposed to be convicted so we don't have a seared conscience and we don't want spiritual leprosy, right? And we've all been there. You'll hear a message and you're like, you scoop it over to someone else. I don't want to hear that right now. Well, they started out well. Sardis started out really well. A lot of churches always start really well. They had the football, but they fumbled the ball. And that happens so many times. Even what we're seeing now with all these different movements and churches. Discover Channel had a big exposing of, you know, Hillsong, and all these different things are happening. People that fumbled the ball, right? I don't rejoice in that. They started off well, and they ended in ruins because of the mountains and the cliffs they thought were safe. So they didn't watch. So what does he tell them? What's his command here? His command was to awaken and watch. Sardis fell because of their failure to watch. We have to watch. We have to say, and watchful messages are not entertaining messages. But they're watchful messages. Because if they had some guards that were on that cliff, they would say, they're trying to climb up the mountain. But they got so comfortable, they didn't think anybody would attack them from there. We've gotten so comfortable in our churches, we didn't realize the devil. Just like Paul said, he said, I haven't stopped for 3 years to warn you. Day and night with tears. For 3 years, he warned them. The false prophets are coming. The pillow prophets are coming. All these so-called ministers are coming with thus saith the Lord, right? So in closing, what are we to watch? Watch against Satan. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be watchful, your adversary the devil. He's not dead yet, and he's working through people. He's working through the bloodlines of Cain. He's working against the children of the light. The kings of the earth have a plan against the Lord and against his anointed, Psalms 2. He's as a roaring lion. And in these end times, some of the main things you got to watch out for, I like to call it fear porn. The enemy wants a people worldwide now that are so afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid of this. The next, we've never been under so much stress and anxiety as the last 18 months, 2 years. And they don't want it to stop. They're conditioning and grooming people. As a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You don't have to be devoured by fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. If you have a watchman that's telling you what's going on, you're not afraid. You might not like what's going on, but you're not afraid because you know where the enemy is. And that's the problem. Most people don't know there is an enemy. So we're supposed to watch against temptation. We don't want spiritual leprosy. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. We all can be tempted. Even if you're an old person, there's still temptations. You don't go around a place where you know you're going to be tempted. You don't go around people you know you shouldn't be around because they're going to lure you to do something. There was a time my sister came and saw me and I was hanging around some friends. She goes, I don't want you hanging around those. Those girls are not good for you. And I was like, you're right. They're not good. This was years ago. But I was like, yeah, they take you to places you don't want to go and they, you know, they expose you to things you shouldn't even be exposed to. So we have to cut off people like that. You can love them from afar. Yeah. Avoid situations you know that's going to cause you to be tempted. Watch against false teachers. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They're going to look like a sheep. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Matthew 7:15. We're to watch for the Lord's return. Some people think you're just going to be out of here. We're not going to go through nothing. Well, that's a lie, too. We have to endure. And some of these people, I just get so upset with. They are not preparing people to endure because they just act like we're going to just be up and out of here. Well, 2 years ago, we had some friends that said that there's not going to be an election. This and that. God's coming in the fall. Well, it's been 2 years now, and he still hasn't come. So, but you don't give up that he's not going to come, but you don't act like he's coming right now. Then you live in this false reality. I don't even, it's just some kind of a fake world. So we're to watch for the Lord's return. What does that mean? We're faithful. We're faithful. You don't want to live in sin when the Lord comes back. You don't want to be caught doing stuff you're not supposed to be doing, right? So be faithful. Keep yourself free from sin. Luke 12:40, be ye also ready, for in an hour that you think not the Son of Man cometh. There is a price for not watching. Just like Sardis, there was a price for not watching. They got defeated. There's a price for for ministers not telling you what's going on. There's a price. People are going to be deceived and fearful. And then these leaders are just going along with everything. And they don't give anybody, tell them what's really going on, that they're trying to come and a total totalitarian takeover is trying to come right now. Oh, that'll never happen in America. Well, just look at the 6 feet apart. When they started doing that, I was like, here we are. Here we are. And don't think they're going to lift it, because this is the cover for them to get their agendas in. And everybody's so focused on the cover, they don't see the agendas coming in. They could have never pushed these agendas without these fake covers. So there is a price for not watching. And if you've backslidden, I just want to encourage you to get up. Get up. We've all done things, been places, done things. I look back and I thought, man, I really thought I was walking with the Lord then. And then you look back and you're like, wow. You know, especially when I was in the faith message and I prayed day and night. Oh my gosh, I was always in a prayer meeting and this and that. It was such a heavy yoke that I was carrying. I thought I had to pray everybody and their brother through everything. And God doesn't put those kind of burdens on you, but the religious spirit, the religious system does. And people are asking me now, they go, well, how do I pray? How do I pray? Start with the Lord's Prayer. Pray simple. Pray like a child. Ask and thank Him. But don't labor under this tedious religious spirit that just makes you feel responsible for the whole burden of the whole world. God didn't call us to do that. He told us to watch and pray, kneel before Him, worship Him, honor Him, and stay watching. Amen? Father, we thank You that we want to be part of that remnant. We want to be the overcomer. We want to endure to the end. We want to have our garments white. We want to be white. So, Father, we thank You for Your truth. Even though it's like a sword, sometimes it cuts so good, because it cuts the sin off. It cuts the leprosy off. It cuts the part of our flesh that wants to pout, feel sorry for yourself. All these different things, they don't do us any good. So, Father, we thank You that You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank You, Lord, that we want to overcome. We want to be those overcomers. Stand watching and praying when You return. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.